Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages out of 1 Peter. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we take a look in the book.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for how you have been blessing us over and over and over again. And Lord, you've been blessing us not because we deserve it, not because we've been so good, holy, or righteous. But you just a good God. You're a gracious God. Thank you so much, dear God. And we just thank you, Lord, for the roofs over our head, clothes on our backs, food on our table. Because, Lord, that could have been us sleeping under the bridge. Lord, that could have been us even sleeping in our grave. But you told old death to behave. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we embark upon this sacred duty to preach your word, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. You are my strength and you are my redeemer, and besides you, there is no other. So speak this morning in a mighty way so that the lost can be saved, the saved can be encouraged, backsliders can come back to you, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name that we do pray. Amen. Come on and put your hands together. Amen, amen, amen. God is worthy to be praised. The choir, the male chorus, really lifted up the name of Jesus. You know, when people praise God, see, what they was doing was for God. But it's a strange thing about whenever you do something for God, the people get blessed in the process. That wasn't for us. That was for God. God is so good. God is so good. See, if you aim at trying to please people will get mad at you. Because you didn't do it like they wanted it. But also you missed out on God. But if you aim to please God, it's a ricochet effect. The people get blessed in the process. Hello, somebody. Didn't you get blessed this morning in the process? Didn't they bless your soul? Lord, have mercy. Keep blessing God, men. And people get blessed in the process. God is a good God. That was good. All right, for those of you who have your Bibles, open with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, but I'm going to just read the first four verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And that'll be enough. Look at what the scripture says. Are you with me, Bible Way? For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of rise, speaking evil of you. Notice verse 2 again. It says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I want to talk on the subject, what to do the rest of your life. What to do the rest of your life. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, going to talk about what to do the rest. The rest of your life. What to do the rest of your life. Are y'all going to be in prayer with me this morning? Y'all going to go with me? I'm going to have to go by myself. Every Christian must decide on what he or she will do for the rest of your life. We are living in a day and age of confusion and discontentment. So many people don't know what to do with their life for the rest of their life. A lot of rich folks have so much money and so many doors of opportunity have opened to them. They don't even know which door to choose. In other words, they don't know what to do with their life for the rest of their life. Then there are so many poor folks who are suffering so that doors of opportunities are closed to them. And they don't know what to do with their life for the rest of their life. The people that Peter have been writing to were people that was poor and they was being persecuted Christians. As a matter of fact, they had been ran out of their own hometowns and their own home country, and they was refugees, and now they was living in a new territory, and they was new Christians living in new territories, and they got a new religious faith. In other words, they're living a brand new life, and everything is so different to them. They didn't know what to do with their life for the rest of their life. How many of you know, once that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you got a brand new life. You even got a brand new religious faith. But you are somewhat confused about how to live out this new Christian life, you don't know exactly what to do the rest of your life. And that's where Peter comes in. Peter gives us some instructions on what we need to do with our life for the rest of our life. Because how many of you know that Christian life is just not a Sunday commitment? Or Christian life is not a part-time lifestyle, but a Christian life is something that you got to work out for the rest of your life. Yeah, and so these instructions that Peter are giving to us are a timeless. This instructions is something that you can take today and use it for the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, it's so much in this text that I'm not going to be able to give you everything today. I see three things here, but I can only give you one today. Would that be all right? And I'm going to give you two of them next week. Would that be all right? So this is basically what to do with your life, the rest of your life, part one. This is really part one, because next week I'll finish it up and give you part two. But what to do with your life for the rest of your life? Number one, keep sin in the past. Oh, it's going to take me the rest of my sermon to unpack that. Keep sin in the past. Look at what he says here in the first two verses. He says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer, somebody say no longer, no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but, somebody say but to the will of God. Oh, Peter is telling us that for the rest of our life, we should not live in the flesh, that's the old man, but we should live according to the will of God. But in order for that to happen, we got to develop a militant attitude towards sin. In other words, you got to go on the war against sin. People often wait talking about the devil is messing with me. Listen, you ought to be messing with the devil. Look, you ought to go on a war against sin. See, the problem is people need to have an attitude adjustment when it comes to sin. So often people look at sin like it's their pet dog. It's like it's their pet puppy. It's something that you pick up and cuddle and play with. It's something that you pet. They look at sin like a little pet puppy, but you can't be looking at sin like a pet puppy. Matter of fact, the Bible looks at sin like it's a monster. When you read Genesis chapter 4, when Cain didn't bring God what he supposed to, God says, Cain, I'm going to give you another chance to bring the right kind of offering, but if you don't, sin is crouching at the door, and you're going to have to master it. And the picture there in the Hebrew is like a big grizzly bear getting ready to pounce on that man soon as he opened that door. In other words, you're going to either have to kill sin or sin going to kill you. It ain't nothing to play with. It ain't nothing to pet. See, think about this. Let's say you had a poison snake. You had a poison snake. And let's say your little poison snake that you let just run around in the house one day bit your only son and killed him, took him out. What would you do? Would you go around and say, nah, snake, you shouldn't have done that. Let me put, now you're going to have to stay over here, Mr. Snake. You wouldn't be petting on that snake. You wouldn't be loving on that snake. You wouldn't be bragging on that snake. You wouldn't be inviting people to come over to your house and say, hey, y'all, let's play with the snake. No, but what would you do? You would go on and kill that snake. Matter of fact, you would hate snakes because it reminded you of what that snake done to your only child. In the same way, if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought not be playing with sin. Why? Because sin was the thing that killed Jesus on the cross. So how can you live for something that Jesus had to die for? Oh, you need to have a militant attitude when it comes to sin. As a matter of fact, you know, we have goals in our lives. You know, we have a goal to do this and a goal to do that. You know what one of the goals need to be for a Christian? One of your goals should be to stop sinning. Did you hear me? I'm trying to let that marinate a little bit. One of your goals should be, now that you done accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to stop sinning. Listen, sin should not be a part of the Christian lifestyle. Sin should not be a part of your present. Sin should not be something that you desire in the future. You should have as your goal to stop sinning. See, one of the ways you know you're growing as a Christian is you don't sin like you used to. Oh, I'm coming right out of the Bible. I say, he that suffered in the flesh has ceased. Stop sinning. Yeah. See, living on the inside of you is a brand new you. If you are saved, then you got the Holy Spirit. You got a new spirit living on the inside of you. But at the same time, you still got that old man that's living on the inside of you. And see, you can either be a weak Christian or a strong Christian. It all depends on which one of them men's that you feed. If you feed the new man, the word of God, then you're going to be a strong Christian. But if you feed that flesh, that old man, and keep giving in to the old man, you're going to end up being a weak Christian. As a matter of fact, folks look at your lifestyle, they're not going to even know that you are a Christian. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So that ought to be your goal. You ought to have a goal. I want to be sinless. Oh, stay with me now. One of your goals ought to be, I want to be a sinless person. Oh, you said, now, Pastor, you done went on. I was with you until you talked about being sinless, because we know we'll never reach a sinless, because being sinless means perfection. Yeah, but that ought to be your goal. Listen. If you shoot for the moon, you may hit some of the stars. You need to have a high aiming. See, some Christians, you ain't aiming high enough. You need to have a high aim in life. Listen. You may not ever get to being sinless on this earth, but you ought to sin less. See, I may not ever get to the point on this side of the Jordan of being sinless, but I ought to be sinning less if I'm a Christian. I ought not be doing the same thing that I used to do. I ought to be sinning less, and that's what Peter is talking about. As a matter of fact, by the time that you done came to Jesus, you already got a bucket full of sin anyway. Oh, I know I'm right. I'm getting it right out the Bible here. Look what it says. As a matter of fact, Peter says in verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentile. You already done enough sin when you was living like the Gentile. That's what Peter said. Yeah. Yeah. And then, just in case you ain't clear, Peter began to list the sins. He gives a bucket list of sins. Look at the bucket list. Are you with me, Bible way? He says, when we walked in lasciviousness, that's one. Lust, two. Excess of wine, three. Revelings, four. Banqueting, five. Abominable idolatry, six. Peter gave a bucket list of sins. He lists six things that we used to get involved in. Oh, it's going to take me the rest of the message just to unpack these things. Are y'all going to go with me on the trip? Amen. You better buckle up your seatbelt because this is going to be a bumpy ride. Lord, I don't want nobody to fall off the wagon. Just hold on to the wagon now, all right? Amen. Look what he says. When we walked in lasciviousness. What do we mean when we say lasciviousness? We are talking about acts that goes against decency. It's obscenities. It's where you go against acts of decency publicly. Stay with me. Don't fall off the wagon now. It's where you do stuff that has no decency involved in it. And we are living in a day and age of folks are living in indecent ways. I mean, folks are saying anything today. They'll even dress any kind of way today. They'll just let it all hang out today. They'll dress any kind of way. They'll say any kind of thing. They'll do any kind of thing. I mean, they'll talk dirty just any kind of way. And you tell them, listen, don't talk like that. We got kids in here. They say, well, they'll curse you out too. He know how to cuss. And you say, but we got grandmama up in here. Grandmama is the one that taught me how to cuss. This is the day and age in which we are living in. It used to be, folks used to be embarrassed, you know, to kind of be doing stuff publicly. But you'll see folks hugging on each other publicly, groping on each other publicly, kissing on one another publicly, doing dirty dancing one another publicly. You'll see them doing all kind of stuff publicly. But see, you don't even have to leave home to see stuff today. You can just go on your Facebook. You can see almost anything that you want to on the Facebook. And look, let me just talk with you just a moment here. Some stuff nobody need to see. You don't need to be putting a picture of a tattoo where the good Lord done split you on Facebook. Some stuff don't nobody need to see until you get married. You're supposed to be sharing that with your husband or share that with your wife. Indecency exposure there on Facebook. Lord have mercy. Folks, them don't need to be seeing certain things on Facebook.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.